Good morning, everyone. And this morning, the sermon I'm bringing is dedicated to our leaders, to their church leaders here, but as well as just, it's going to apply to each and every one of us, because each and every one of us are leaders. Even if you're not a leader within your family, a leader at work, a leader amongst other co-workers, you have a body and you are responsible to care for that body. You're responsible to feed that body. You are responsible to drive out the enemy from your body. So each of us has a body, so each of us are leaders. But this morning, I want to dedicate it to our church leaders. That was my heart when I was preparing. That was my heart as I bring this. And I put it out there. I try to get it out to most of you. But if you did not hear, at the end, there will be an opportunity for you to bless the leaders, to encourage the leaders here. So as I was looking at this and diving into what is leadership? What is, this idea of church leadership? What do church leaders even do, right? Is it all about Sundays? I was really, I was going back and forth if I wanted to. Oh, I forget his name. A guy kind of makes fun of church culture. I forget his name. But he has this whole, press conference after a Sunday morning. Time that he's preaching. He's giving all kinds of stats. I had 5 amens. I had 20 hand raises. I had a good, it was set up like a football press conference. It's all about Sundays, right? No, that is not true. That's not what it's about. And that's a lie. And I think celebrity pastors in America has destroyed what it really means to be a church leader. Because we see these celebrities and we look up to them and that's what I want to be. And we don't realize what the actual cost is to be a leader. We don't actually, we look at that, oh, they've got so much fame. And we desire as leaders based off of worldly context, right? We want to be known by people. We want to experience financial richness. We want to be a success, and that is what drives what I feel a lot of these, I want to call it celebrity pastors. And just do a quick Google search on the top paid pastors in America, and you will be blown away by their net worth. And who are we building up? Who are we bringing attention to, as church leaders? Someone was just telling me about, they went to Africa, and they were telling me the organization that they went with, and I never heard of it before. It sounded interesting. I went to looked up their website, and here was a quote by someone everyone here knows, a pastor here that everyone knows across America pretty much. And the quote was, "When someone asks me how to get to a fast track of healing, I tell them, go on a ministry trip with so-and-so." This guy who started this ministry, all right? Fast track for healing, and you want to go follow this guy? Where's Jesus? If that doesn't disgust you, if that doesn't just, make you want to throw up in your mouth, how to get on the fast track of healing? What is this about? As leaders, when you really look at biblical leadership, when you look at mighty leaders, we were talking about this morning, mighty leaders, where are we? So I'm going to turn to Acts 20, verse 28. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. "Therefore I testify to you this day that..." Oh, that's the wrong... Yeah, right, sorry. Verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. I'll stop there. So right here, Paul's using the imagery of a shepherd. And the word of God uses the idea of shepherding to describe what it means to be a leader. And so, like, I guess I was going down this process. So to go to the very beginning is, who is a great shepherd? In John 10, 1 through 18, I'm going to read that and just to so we can get our bases on who is a good shepherd and what does it mean to be a shepherd. And we'll be based off of these scriptures here. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from the Father. So here we see who the good shepherd is, and a model of what it means to be a leader. A model of what it means to be a shepherd. And there's going to be four things we're going to look at. We're going to look at a good shepherd gathers, a good shepherd guides, a good shepherd guards, and a good shepherd feeds. All right? You don't do all those just on a Sunday. And that's where we take this way out of just proportion, when we just look at, okay, like, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be pastor, and I'm going to just do this on Sunday. Like, and some of us, we might have that perspective of some leaders, church leaders. Like, all they do is work on a Sunday. And that's not the case. A good shepherd, it's a 24/7 aspect. So before we get into that, I want to just give the definition of a shepherd, all right? So the task of the shepherd was to care for the flock, to find grass and water, to protect it from wild animals, to look and restore those that strayed, to lead the flock out each day, going before it, and to return the flock at the close of the day to the fold. At times, the shepherd led the flock far from home and sheltered the animals by night in a cave or a sheepfold built of field stones. He would lie across the entrance. The shepherd was responsible to the owner for every sheep and was required to make restitution for losses. Shepherds and their flocks enjoyed a close relationship, giving them constant care. So I think we've been diving into 1 Samuel, and I think this was brought up about like the idea of like to be a shepherd was the lowest job you could have. Like, if you were the youngest, this is the job that you would have. if your family had sheep. And you would always be hoping, okay, dad, mom, have another child so I don't have to do this for the rest of my life. Like, that was a great hope. And so no one really desired it because you were alone. You were traveling away. You were spending time in caves. You were risking your life. And it was really a thankless job. It was a thankless job to go out and make sure all the sheep are there and that all the sheep are protected. If you lost a sheep, guess what? Everyone would blame it on you, right? If all the sheep were there, no one really thought about it. Like, no one really, like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what is expected. There is no reward for keeping all the sheep there, all right? So one thing from that definition that I found very interesting is sheep were often not the shepherd's own, right? Someone else owned the sheep. But as a shepherd, you were to care for them as they were your own. Just as we learn from John 10, where John in there it talks about, Jesus was saying, like if you're a hired hand, you're just going to flee when danger comes. And so as leaders, leaders of church, leaders of family, like, the church belongs to Christ. I think that's important for us to remember. The church belongs to Christ. Just as the sheep belong to the owner, the church belongs to Christ. Okay? Now, this thing, it was so cool. Okay, so, and this is, okay, we got shepherds and we got sheep, all right? Now, the shepherd is to, his primary goal is to create an environment that the sheep feel safe, that the sheep remain at one spot, but also that the sheep would reproduce, that they would have more sheep, right? The more sheep that they can have, the more money that they would gain. Like, eventually they're all going to die, so we need more sheep. So they need to create an environment that the sheep are able to grow. But guess what? The shepherd doesn't create more sheep. And I don't think I have to explain that a shepherd can't make a sheep. Sheep gotta make sheep, right? So and that, I found that interesting in the church context. Like, oftentimes we'll go and like blame church leadership for church not growing. But really, that is the sheep's position. That is the great commission to every single one of us to go and multiply and to grow. It is the shepherd's responsibility to create an environment that we feel safe and that we can multiply. But it's not on the shepherd necessarily to create, to multiply. It's on the sheep. It's the sheep. If the sheep aren't multiplying, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And is that for a number of reasons, you can go down a road there. But I feel like that's a whole nother sermon. Like, how are sheep to be sheep? Because everyone, even the leaders here, we're all sheep under the good shepherd. In Scripture, next point here, in Scripture, God chooses a second. It's a really cool theme. If you go through, and I got a couple here, God always chooses a second. All right? Adam and Jesus. Jesus was known as the second Adam or the last Adam. All right? So you got Jesus, Adam, Jesus, Cain, Abel. Abel was a shepherd. Abel received God's blessing. All right? Cain was the firstborn. Ishmael, Isaac. Isaac received the blessing. Manasseh, Ephraim. Ephraim received the blessing from their grandfather. Saul, David. Saul was the first king. David was the second king. Saul was rejected by God. David was accepted by God. So we've been studying this. I just want to hit on a couple of these things. I'm not sure if I missed a couple of the Sunday schools. I'm not sure if we hit on this or not. But this is so fascinating, guys. All right, we look at 1 Samuel 9. I'm just going to turn there and read here. All right, so Israel is like, we want a king. We want to be like everyone else, even though they already had a king. They already had a king. God was their king. But they were like, hey, we want to be like the rest of the nations. We want a king like everyone else. So 1 Samuel 9:2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So we had the most handsome man, a tall man, a man that, man, he looks like the perfect king. All right. Well, how did that turn out? And as we learn in Sunday school, God rejects Saul, right? God asked Saul, this is in chapter 15, God asked Saul to demolish everyone. And Saul goes and he keeps some for sacrifice, keeps some animals for sacrifice. Samuel confronts him and says, what's going on? You did not obey the Lord. And Saul says, but I did. I did. I did this for the Lord. I kept these extra sheep, these extra rams for the Lord for sacrifice. So Saul was defending himself. Like, God clearly did not say that. God clearly said, wipe everyone out. So right there we see that. And then God then rejects Saul. And then Saul starts saying, oh, I sinned, please forgive me, please forgive me. But it was too late. All right? So we looked at 1 Samuel 9. And if you look at 1 Samuel 16... let's look at the difference here. The one that God accepts. Verse 16, 6 and 7. When they came, he looked on. This is Samuel with the family here going through the brothers. And this is the first brother. When they came to look on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Okay? See that? How often do we look at leaders and we focus on the outward appearance? We focus on, they make a perfect king. All right? But then eventually, God accepts the lowliest positions, a shepherd. And David is anointed king. And it's not because of how he looked. It's not because of he was taller or that he made the perfect king on the outward appearance, but it was based off of his heart. But then we learn about David's response to failure. And example here. Second Samuel 12. Here we have this whole massive failure by David when he went out and had Uriah killed so that he could then marry his wife. And Nathan comes to him and he tells him like this story about a rich man and a poor man. And David answers the right way. And Nathan's like, that's you. Don't you see it? He had to be awakened. He's like, that was you. You are that man. And right away, David said, I have sinned. And then you can read Psalms 51. And you can read that psalm. It's a beautiful psalm of just him coming before the Lord, recognizing that he messed up drastically. And he comes before the Lord and says, and just asks for forgiveness. And not only does he own his own sin, but he allows himself to be truly broken. So this idea of, okay, taking the lowliest position and using that throughout Scripture as a example of a leader. And I think that is very important for us to remember as we step into any kind of leadership, that this is God's kingdom. This is not the worldly kingdom. And to think of like a thankless job, I was having a hard time thinking of a really a thankless job. And in my context, I would say, correctional officers. You never hear a correctional officer be praised. All right? But if they do their job, they keep inmates in and not from escaping or from fighting, you never hear about it, right? And that's how it's supposed to be. But you'll never hear a praise of how many suicides they prevented. Which they prevent a lot of suicides. I can speak for Lancaster County. I don't know about others. But they do prevent quite a bit of suicides, right? But you'll never hear that praise. They'll never get thanked for their hard work. I mean, to sit there, you think, oh, they just sit there and just watch people. In a sense, they do. But at any moment, things could go crazy, right? But when you do hear about them is when a suicide does happen, right? And then they get all the blame. When a fight breaks out, they get all the blame. When someone gets injured, when drugs get in, they get all the blame, right? It comes back on them. It's a thankless job. I'm sure there's other examples of a thankless job that's out there. But that is, as a good shepherd, if you are a good shepherd, that is the position that you're willing to take. That's the cost that you're willing to take to become a leader. So I'm just going to go quickly through a couple verses here. And of what a good shepherd. A good shepherd gathers. A good shepherd gathers. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Luke 15, 2-7. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners, eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does it not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." A good shepherd gathers. As a leader, do you have that heart for every sheep that's in your realm, that when one is missing, you recognize that they're missing? One has gone astray, that you drop everything to go and find that lost sheep. A good shepherd guides. To him, John 10, 3-4, and 26-28. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do your sheep know your voice? Okay. Verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." A good shepherd guards. Pay careful, Acts 20, 28-30. Pay careful attention to yourself and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Okay, remember, this is a crucial verse. To care for the church of God, which he, Jesus, obtained with his own blood. This is Christ's church. All right, we are to care for them. Okay, verse 29. "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Do you guard your sheep? Do you recognize that there are lies, false testimonies, there's deceitfulness out there? Do you recognize that? Are you doing everything you can to guard your sheep? Not because they're your sheep, but because they're Christ's. A good shepherd feeds. John 21:15-17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." In verse 16, he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." In verse 17, he says to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So I'm going to end this here shortly, just a couple end notes, but a word for the shepherds. Lead your sheep under the authority of Christ with all humility. As men, as leaders, like, we need to be perfect. And not in the way of perfect that you would think, but in a way of perfect, like, hey, I'm going to perfectly mess up, because we're all going to mess up. But how do I mess up? How do I allow myself to be humble and recognize that I am not 100% right? Okay? And and an easy way to think about this is our children, a young child. My daughter Stella, she probably thinks of me as perfect, even though I mess up a lot, but she hasn't recognized to a depth of how many times I've really hurt her. And then to a point of, and all of us are sons and daughters, we all have wounds, deep wounds from our parents, right? We all have deep wounds from leaders at some place, some way, somehow, right? We expect, even if it's not fair, we expect as little boys and little girls perfection from our mommies and daddies, right? And then as we grow, we learn that, hey, there's grace to be given. And it's easier to give that grace when our mommies and daddies are humble and recognize that they don't have everything figured out, and that they love with all everything that they have. They've given all that they have to raise their children. But we recognize that we do fall short. It's that humility that as sheep you recognize. Learn how to wield your staff. Okay, shepherds have a staff. And those shepherds would use those staffs for correction, right? That's often what we talk about. But it's also a sign of authority. It's another great study in the Bible, right? Kings would have, what are they called? Scepters, right? Shepherds would have a staff. Moses had a staff. Like, it's a sign of authority. But also shepherds, when the sheep would come into a sheepfold, and if you don't know where a sheepfold is, it's like a little gate, a little home for the sheep. And they would come in to the gate, and the sheep would be going in, and they would count each sheep, right? And tradition, and they still practice this, the few shepherds that are out there, but they'll count the sheep as they come in. And they just tap them on the back. It's not out of correction, but it's just out of care, out of tender, out of love. Do I have every sheep? As they come in, 1, 2, 3. Is your staff, is your scepter, do you wield it properly? Yes, we need a correction. Sheep need correction. But is it way too far down the line of correction where you don't feel any tender and love? Because sheep need to be held and coddled and counted. That staff is a sign of authority. How do you use your authority? Are you an abuser of your authority? Or do you use it to care and to love your sheep? Be willing to take responsibility as a leader. If the sheep goes missing, are you willing to say, that is my fault? Even the sheep might be stubborn and just keeps taking off every day. The sheep just wants to go to the other side of the mountain for whatever reason. And you're just tired of the sheep. It keeps running off. Are you willing to take that as a shepherd? Like, that is my responsibility to make sure that sheep stays with the herd. Too often times it's easy to take blame off ourselves. A good shepherd takes that blame. And are you Saul or are you David? And when I look at this idea of being perfect, this idea of perfect, like I look at David, he was a man after God's heart. He wasn't perfect in a sense that he did everything right, but he was perfect in a way that he was broken and humble and willing to be to just come before the Lord as who he was. And we talked about that some this morning. It was just great. So this idea of like, yeah, am I a Saul? Am I a leader of Saul? Because where I'm focused on what I look like, what I sound like, I'm focused on my Sunday morning stats. Or am I David, willing to be broken? A word to the sheep. Remember, sheep, we are not the center of the universe. Remember that the leaders that come around us, that walk with us, that take us on our life's journey and want to walk with us in that, we are not the only ones in their lives. Learn to extend grace to our leaders. Because when you recognize that our leaders have humility, have just a heart for each and every one of us, it becomes easier to give that grace. But it becomes so easy to forget to offer grace. It becomes so easy to forget and easy to blame and put everything that is going on our leaders, that their leaders are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. If our leaders were doing this and this and this, I wouldn't be like this. Learn to trust your leaders with our junk. Am I willing to offer who I really am and come to my leader and trust that they're willing to take me to a better place? I want to speak just to way of Jesus, the leadership team here. And like, I don't think we recognize what all that they go through to care for their sheep. I don't think we recognize the lack of sleep, the many meetings, the many discussions, the wrestling in prayer, the conversations, the one-on-one meetings that they have, time that they take away from their families, time that they take away from their personal life, time that they take away from their businesses, time that they take away from themselves to care for the sheep. We take leaders for granted way too often. We take you guys, the six men and their wives, for granted. I know, I'll speak for personally. I do. I'll call one of them up and expect something. Like, they have nothing else going on in their life. Hey, you need to listen to me. I got something going on. Right? And maybe I'm alone in that. And that's what they're for. But again, I think there's got to be a place where we recognize as sheep that I am not the center of the universe, but I can trust them. I can come to them. And so at this time, I want to ask the men and their wives, if they're able to come here. I want you guys to look at your sheep, the sheep that are here, and there's many other sheep that aren't here. I want you guys to come up here. You guys are willing to. So Ernie, Michael, David, Dale, Steve, Galen, you guys can come up here. I want you guys to look at your sheep. And do we not have a handheld, Alan? Just this? Okay. So this is our opportunity as sheep. You can speak into this. All right. This is our opportunity as sheep that we can bless, encourage, ignite a new passion amongst our leaders. And I'm going to start out, and I just want to thank each and every one of you. I thank you guys for the effort that you guys put in. I thank you for the foundation you put into Way of Jesus Ministries and the countless hours that y'all sacrificed for the people, for hearts. I thank you for your willingness to go where God is taking you as a leadership team, where God is moving you, willing to hear, willing to listen, willing to go through hard, really hard things. So I want to bless each and every one of you. Specifically, I want to bless Mike and Darlene. As a family, you guys have connected with us. You guys have shown us grace and walked with us through really hard times. You guys were there for babysitting. You guys been there for just encouragement and just different life places that we've been in. So I want to bless you guys. Thank you. So the mic's open, guys. Be willing to share. If you guys have anything to pour into, encourage these guys for what they've done.
Best times of my life because of you guys, and I'd like to especially call out Dale for all that he has done for me when I was leaving for Asia. We went out for breakfast, and he asked me what I was going through, what some of the things were that I was afraid of, and it was just really great to talk with him, know that he really cared for me, and as a church supported me. And also Dave and Amanda for the emails you guys sent me. That meant so much to me. I can't really say how much it meant to me, but just that you guys cared for me, sending me updates about what was going on around here. And that was really great. Really great. So just wanted to thank you all for all that you've done for me. And God bless you as you keep doing it.
I kind of wanted to start crying when I saw you all up here, because it's a pack of really good people, and that's pretty incredible to just be able to be able to say that and feel that. Trust and confidence in you all. You've been definitely a safe place, just because of your openness, just kind of having open arms to everybody, and being humble, and just genuinely caring, and blessing, speaking a lot of blessing and encouragement. So I've experienced all of you as a safe place and just a really good group of people, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, I was thinking about the verse about, not lording it over, for leaders not to lord it over the people in their care, but to lead by example. And that's what I think of when I think about y'all, is just how much you've done that. And, it feels more like friends than someone to have, when I'm around y'all, than someone that I have to tread softly around. So I really appreciate that. And specifically, I want to thank Dale for Yeah, just for your pastor heart, for the way you care for people, the way that you always have a welcoming presence about you and really care about the flock and the team. And also for David and Amanda, just the way that you really stayed in the Word and made that a huge priority to really bring it a sound teaching of the Word to the church here. So thank you very much. And then also Michael and Darlene, just have loved seeing your service, your heart of your open heart to give whatever it takes to the people here and especially in Lancaster City. So I love that. Thanks for all that you all do. Appreciate you all.
Thank you all for what you have spoken into our lives. Definitely, each one of you have made a huge impact. For us, getting married and just feeling welcomed here, and definitely being excited about where the church is going. Just everyone, we're very excited to be a part of your guys' vision, and so thank you.
I also want to thank each of you for accepting us and welcoming us here. It's definitely been a community that we are excited to be a part of, and like Alan said, just getting behind your vision, and it's something that we want to do, and you each are friends and also heroes in our lives. So just thank you for the impact that you're having in our life. It's a blessing doing life with you guys, and we appreciate and love you all. So thank you.
I just want to say thank you to every one of you guys up here, specifically Amanda and Hannah, for just being, and all the women up here, who are just being examples of someone, like people that I can look to and be like, I want to be like them when I grow up. And so I just thank you guys for that.
I want to thank you guys for the time, the energy that you guys put into, Sunday, to the sermons, and just Dale sending me texts over the last how many weeks. Just thank you for all the time that you guys put into it. And your heart to just follow God and just get insight from Him and share it. I know I really appreciate many times we'll sing a song or just going over some, like a familiar passage, and just really, what are we singing here? What are the words that we're saying? And just really making us think and check where we're at and just making it real. So thank you.
I just want to thank you all for the way you invested in my wife and I. I think we were attending like 4 months when her brother passed away. And just the way all of you just wrapped your arms around us and just made us feel loved and cared for. And just Dale especially, just check up on both of us for, probably every week for like 2 months after. The way you welcomed us and loved us and just shepherded our hearts and have just always motivated us to just strive and continue striving in the walk. Just thank you all for that.
Bye-bye. you all for being leaders and being examples and walking with God. You know, I know the deeper you walk with God, the harder it gets, or more challenges you face. Just thank you for facing those challenges and rising on top. And also, I want to thank you all for giving the gift of time. You know, especially, I think, as Steve and Gail, you know, at different times I'd ask you questions and take the time to answer them or explain to me, you know, where I'm, you know, just help me see my thoughts from a different perspective, and I thank you for that. And thank you all for serving and blessing my life. And God bless you as you continue to lead.
I don't want to drag it too long. Is there anyone that wants to share that didn't share yet? I'm going to have a word of prayer for y'all. And again, just thank you for the willingness to give it all. I think a lot of those points, as a team, I see a lot of those points that I brought out. And it's been an amazing journey that my wife and I have been on along with you guys to be a part of Way of Jesus and the willingness to walk where God is taking the church. And so I just want to bless you guys. And yeah, I love your hearts, and we feel cared for, we feel safe, and I just want to encourage you to continue to take the shepherd position. And that goes for all of us leaders. Am I willing to take the shepherd position to give it all? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you, our good shepherd. Father, we thank you that each and every one of us in this room is a sheep, and that we know that if we stray away, that you are going to come and seek us. So, Father, I just ask that, Lord, that you would bless the leaders here. And, Lord, that you would just continue to put on their hearts just this desire to care for their sheep. And Lord, that as the sheep come into the sheepfold, Lord, that they use their rod with gentle and care as they count. And is every sheep here? Are the sheep? Who's missing? And if they're missing, where are they at? Father, that would be the spirit of the leadership team. And Father, I just ask that you would continue to bless them, Lord. And through hard times, through really difficult situations, Lord, that you would just give them the strength to continue to love. And Lord, that as sheep, that we can continue to encourage and bless and just show them that we love them and that we appreciate them. So Father, I just ask that you would also allow them to know how to utilize the rod of correction. And Lord, just this symbol of authority over the church, Lord, that it would not be taken for granted, Lord, that it wouldn't take for lordship over people, but as a steward of you, as a vessel for you, to be an extension of your goodness into our lives. So, Father, I just ask that you would just, this next week, next month, Lord, that you would just specifically bless the leadership team with rest, with a sense of peace. And Lord, that you would just continue to show them truth and life. And Lord, that you would just bring a sense of just a new life to our church. And Lord, that you would begin with those standing in the front. Father, we just say this in your name. Amen.